Law, Tim, incredibly gifted musically and speaking, it seemed like he could do almost anything. A wonderful wife, 6 children and grandchildren. His kidneys were attacked by some kind of virus, damaging them, and over time he had to go on dialysis. Fortunately, his gracious wife was a match, and she gave one of her kidneys to him. When you talk to Tim, you don't get the sense that he wants things to go back the way they were before. He worked too hard, probably worried too hard. In those 3 years where his health prevented him from working, he felt everything was being stripped away from him. Today, he trusts God with much more simplicity and hope. It has become more about his faith in God and less about his own ability. Tim could not fix his situation with more activity, planning, or worrying. In every sense, Tim has learned to rest physically, emotionally, and spiritually because he recognized there were few other viable options. He has embraced a simpler life and wants to remain in this day-to-day dependence on God. Jesus wants each of us to be in this kind of intimacy and understanding with him. Let's pray. Lord, we don't know what is coming around the corner into our lives or even in our world globally. What we do know is that we want to stay close to you. You have the best plans for us and you love us. We want to honor you with all that we are and all that we have. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the Old Testament, we've been preaching out of the book of Genesis. Today's text is Genesis 2, 1 to 3. I'll read it to you. Thus the heavens and earth were finished in all their multitude. On the sixth day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. Have you ever had a day of rest? Would you like a day of rest? If you could plan such a day, what would it look like? Often our lives seem so full, so busy, taking care of children, working long hours, studying for tests, writing papers, paying bills, stretching dollars. The list is endless. Would it be on a hot beach with a cool drink and sand sliding between your toes? Would it be a cool fall day walking through creation with its vibrant colors, climbing up a snow-capped mountain, or canoeing in a quiet stream? Sitting before a warm fire, sipping on hot chocolate as you read a book. When was your last day of rest? Your Sabbath. In the Old Testament, in Exodus 20, the 10 commandments are listed. Do you remember what the 4th commandment was? Keeping the Sabbath holy. Exodus 20, 8 through 11. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest and dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes your sons and daughters, and they breathe a sigh of relief. This includes your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart. Do you know what the penalty was for breaking the Sabbath? It was the death penalty. Wow, that seems like a bit of an overreaction, don't you think? Kind of a strong response for not taking a day of rest. I wonder why God rested on the seventh day as an example to us. I wonder why it was so important to keep that you could lose your life over not obeying it. I wonder if there's something about the Sabbath and resting that we've kind of skipped over previously. Could you imagine if your boss at work said, if you don't take your coffee breaks at holidays, we're going to fire you. Or if you don't take your recess breaks at school, we're going to have to expel you. Something important is happening here that has potential to impact our relationship with God, with our schoolmate, with our neighbor, with our family, with our friends, and we don't want to miss it. So as Jesus said in Mark 4:9, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Or anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. In the first 6 days of Genesis, or in the beginning God, it has taken that which was in disorder and chaos and created peace and order. From the sky to the moon to the stars to the day to the night to the sun to the land to the animals, and finally the crowning of the created world, humans. We're not here by chance. Rather, it was God's design that you and I would be alive at this time and place in the world's history. He has placed you and me right where we are to help God's kingdom come to earth as it is in heaven. Everything is right in the world at this point, functioning like it was created to at creation. If God could do such a work of art in 6 days, imagine what he'll do in the seventh. Throughout Scripture, the number seven represents perfection or completeness. What does the Lord, who merely speaks the word and creation comes forth, do to top that? What he's done already on day seven. Genesis 2:1 begins by saying, thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all their multitude. You kind of get the impression that things are wrapping up at the job site, and everything is moving to completion. Have you ever worked on a project until its last component was put in place? Whether it was a project at work, the completion of an assignment, the closing of a business deal, creating the right ingredients for the perfect mud pie. Oh, come on. I know you made mud pies when you were kids, didn't you? There's a sense of accomplishment. Something special has happened. It almost seems wrong to press forward to the next thing until we've taken time to celebrate the accomplishment. Genesis 2:2. And on the sixth day, God finished the work that he had done and rested on the seventh day from all the work he had done. The New Living says, he finished his work, so he rested. When God was done everything, everyone could rest. After the fall of Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, the created world is lost and continually longing for this rest, trying to somehow get it back, to restore it. Romans 8, 19-21 reveals the unrest. For all of creation's waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subject to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. Things were not always so broken like they are today. God rested. Why do you think he rested? As we get older, some of us don't move as quickly as we used to. Sometimes we need to take a rest in the middle of going somewhere. Was God tired? The Lord of the universe rested, Sabbath, to be an example to all who would follow. In essence, God did not need to rest, but he did this as a gift to us. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who are weary, all who are overburdened, and I'll give you rest. Do you know what it means to be weary? To be burdened down where you don't think you can take another step? We rest, setting time aside to be in communion with God, to let go all the things that haunt us, to gain perspective about the past, the present, and the future, to recalibrate our way. Sabbath invites us to rest. Some things we will only learn by waiting and quieting our hearts. If you could imagine the whole world, the universe is like a temple, a sanctuary where all of creation can come and connect with the Creator and be restored and healed. Genesis 2:3. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all his work and he had done in creation. The seventh day was made holy, sanctified. It was clean. It was perfect. And God blessed the creation. The day was set apart to reaffirm that God is central to all we are and all we do and all we have. God before us. God behind us. God all around us. The glory of the Lord poured out upon his creation. Daryl Johnson, in his book, That You May Live, based on the Ten Commandments, has suggested that God created a rhythm of working 6 days and then one day of rest for our well-being. We were not created to handle the pressure, the tension, the stress of every day, day in and day out. We will burn out. Nor were we created for a constant leisure where we'll be bored to death. We must stop this every seventh day to rest, reflect, and worship. Henry Cloud, in his book, How People Grow, he says this: virtually every emotional and psychological problem, from addictions to depression, has alienation or emotional isolation at its core or close to it. Recovering from these problems involves helping people get more connected to each other at deeper and healthier levels than they are. This came from the chapter of the book called God's Plan A, People. We are made to need each other. We are made to live in close community with each other. We were made to live out our faith in relationship with each other, receiving grace, receiving gifts from God, and receiving healing for our souls because of our trust in God and because of the faithful people he puts around us. God has given us all we need to transform our lives and our world. Do you know that some people get their sense of value from work? You've probably never heard of that before. Thus, the temptation to work 7 days a week. Daryl Johnson again. Our ultimate value as human beings is not found in our work, no matter how worthy it may be. Our ultimate worth is found in a person, in a relationship with the living God. Why the death penalty for the Sabbath breakers? God knew that we'd try to do it without him, choosing to go it alone. It's like when I had my Prius car. Those were the days. The battery was failing and malfunctioning. I could try and go it alone without the battery, but it wasn't going to end well. In reality, we are not really going anywhere or having much impact or influence on anyone or anything. This is what it's like when we go our own way. We were made to be in relationship with God, to worship him with our lives. We should not be surprised, but God designed us to be worshipers. Ultimately, this often becomes distorted because of sin, and we end up worshiping created things instead of the Creator. He has given us the gift of Sabbath rest, and we can quickly turn it into a legal obligation instead of an invitation to draw close to the God who deeply loves us. We're like busy bees who don't have time to do anything but be busy. We run from breakfast to the office or school. We never accomplish all that's on our daily list. And then we go home and quickly eat supper so we can be on to our next thing. Days string into weeks, months into years, from one busy event to the next. We want to fix what is broken in us, but equally, or maybe even more so, we want to fix all those around us who are broken. We want to rush in and change what is uncomfortable, what is uncertain. Mark Buchanan wrote a book called The Rest of God. It really is a good book. It's a great read. I wrote Mark recently and said, this is a good book. Thanks for writing it. Two things I'll mention from the book. The first is the symbol for busyness in the Chinese language is two characters that create a picture. The symbols are heart and kill. This is the end result of what will happen to us or the fruit of busyness. Secondly, he notes that throughout the Gospels, it seems like Jesus' favorite day to heal was on the Sabbath. He took what was dead and made it alive. The Sabbath invites us to stop. Doing is good, but if we're not able to quiet our hearts and be still enough to get directions in what we're to be doing, it usually does not go well. It's like me trying to drive as quickly as I can from Morinville to St. Albert. I pass car after car. When it finally dawns on me, I don't have my wallet with me. And so now my quickness means I'm either even further away from where I need to go, now to go back home to get my wallet. So what does the Sabbath day look like? It will not always happen on a Sunday, as some are scheduled to work shift work. It'll involve worship of our God and King. It can happen alone, but most often with some connection to the Christian community church. In Genesis, all of creation stopped and openly worshiped God. It often looks different than the other 6 days of the week. If we're driving truck, branding cows, delivering pizzas, working on our laptops on all the other days, we should not be doing this on our Sabbath. There should be aspects of reflection, restoration, rejuvenation, and healing. The day is to work like a compass, helping us to get back on track with what is most important, and that is our relationship with God and each other. What we find in the other 6 days of the week, no matter how dynamic, it's not enough for our souls, our bodies, our mind, or our spirits, and it was never meant to be. Without the seventh day, we're not able to function as God created us to on the other six. God knew without the seventh day, we would literally be killing ourselves from the inside out. Thus why the fourth commandment is so sober and so serious. It's the difference between life and death. The symbol of busyness is a heart and killing. What does a personal or corporate response look like when God asks us to rest, to Sabbath like he did? This is not about duty and law. Rather, it was meant to be a gift from the one who loves us like no other. And now, what our response be? C.S. Lewis suggests the perfect church service would not have the focus on ourselves, but rather our attention would be toward God. Let's pray. God, thank you for caring and being so involved in our world and our lives. You truly care what happens to us. We want to hear your voice directing us. We want to draw close to you so you can draw close to us. We want your gift of the Sabbath to heal us, to free us. Have your way in us. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Couple announcements, the benediction. We'll sing one more song. You'll be dismissed. If you want prayer today, there'll be someone in the back corner that will pray with you. Things coming this Thursday, movie night, 6:15. There'll be popcorn. Other things that are coming that you don't want to miss, coming into June 8th. It is June 8th. We have 5 high school grads that are going to be part of the service, and so it's going to be a pretty sweet time, so we encourage you to be a part. And then on the 15th, we're going to have the church picnic, and there's a sign-up sheet on the Welcome Center that helps us determining how many hot dogs, how many hamburgers, and all those kind of things. So please sign up ahead of time. Does anybody here need a little more healing in their lives? Does anybody here need a little more rest in their lives? As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that God gave us the seventh day as a gift to refill us. Amen.
If you'd like to, you can stand while we close out with one last song. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Hold. singing.
Lay.